Turn down the lights and we'll begin. Let me know if you get too warm or too cool. You have blankets and there's some sticky pads around for under your feet when you're standing them if you feel like you're going to slide. I'll put one here for you. We'll begin in this way that you're already beginning, because the moment that you rest on the floor, you notice how you do that. And there might be a way that you typically do that. You might scan for the heavy places, or you might have a random gathering of data in your brain, or you might have a systematic way that you scan. See if you notice what you do. What's your usual way? Maybe you move a little, or maybe you are still. Do you continue to breathe? This lesson is called Know Your Hip Joints. And with this one, it's really important that we're working in a way to the best of your ability, that you're not trying to force anything, and really working from a place of witnessing to the best of your ability. And sometimes that in itself is enough of a challenge. Bring your attention to your right foot, your heel, where you touch the ground, what part of the heel touches down, what part of the back of the side of the heel, what part of the calf, the knee, the thigh, and the length of your right leg. And sensing where you connect into the torso, where your leg meets your pelvis in the hip joint. And that is something we don't sense very easily, but you might notice your contact with the floor behind your right bottom, your right side of your pelvis, your right side of your sacrum. And compare that to your left side. So you have your heel and it's resting, and it might rest a little differently, more heavily, or at a different angle than the right. And feel the shape and what part of your calf rests, the knee, how it rests, where it points, the thigh, what touches and what doesn't, and how you connect on this side. The weight of your pelvis on the left side compared to the right. So feel the difference between the legs. And sometimes one leg will actually feel longer or heavier, straighter, more angled. And it's fine to not actually know what it really is and to be with the sensation of what it is. So to just suss it out based on your feeling of it and not what you know of yourself. And then feel the pelvis and then your head on the ground. And notice how you rest here and anything else that you'd like to notice about the way your weight is distributed through your torso, behind the shoulder blades. And we'll begin with a reference movement. And we do this a lot where we begin with something and then we come back to it again at the end and see how it is, or we come back to it throughout the lesson and see. So in this case, it will be in sitting with your legs out in a V shape, legs long, and you can rest with your weight in your hands behind you. So take your time and roll to your side and then come up to a seat. Yeah, spread your legs. That's, yeah. And where you put your legs, it's, you just pick. Pick the place that feels like the most comfortable. And let your hands rest behind you. Yeah. You can do fists. They don't have to be very far. It doesn't have to be a lot of weight. I know one of your shoulders is not so comfortable. Yeah, so just see what is available. And yeah, if you do it without, that's fine. That's yours. And then tip and arch and round your spine a little bit. So there's a lot of ways to do that. So you could look down and bend from your upper back. Yeah, and then you can come up. And so make it a little small. So sit up tall and a little arch. Yeah. And now bring this movement into your pelvis a little. So you've got two rockers on the bottom of your pelvis. They go like this. So they come together towards your pubic bone and they move back. Yeah. So take the movement now out of the upper back. Let the upper back do what it needs to do to help, and then find a rolling motion a little bit. Maybe your knees need to bend to do that, or maybe they stay straight. Hi, you're almost exactly on time. That's really good. Yeah. So one of the reasons that Feldenkrais has us put the hands back and you don't actually have to rest them down, but the reason would be to make sure that you find the movement all the way down to your down to the sitting bones. You can let your knees bend as you stick your belly out a little bit and then rock back. Feel that. And then that's enough. And then rest on your back. Let it go. You can do that once before you even come down. Yeah. So it's with the hands, if it's comfortable behind you, you're tipping your pelvis forward and back a little bit. And for most of us, we find out, and you could kind of remember the movement because we just did it. So maybe the sense imagery is there. We usually find that we're either already tipped back or forward, so that we have no movement one direction in the pelvis and then a lot of movement in the direction. Yeah, so like you're, do you feel that you would be where? Already back.
Yeah.
Yeah, you're already back.
Yeah.
Yeah. So that's just a starting place. And we'll rest down. Yeah. That's often the case, especially when we start, that we're kind of sitting back already, so the rounding's a little easier and the arching is a little bit foreign or not available, maybe. It's like if we were the Tin Man, we would be in the unoiled position. We're not really moving. And then we'll stand the feet and bend the knees today. And we do this often. Sometimes we do it in different places, depending on what we're doing. So this time, the feet can be, and the feet and knees are kind of directly below where they meet the pelvis. And below in Feldenkrais would be in the direction of your feet. Above is going to be above your head. So it's always, the directions are in relationship to you. If I say, up is above your head, down is below your pelvis. Does that make sense? So a lot of times if I say like to the right, we're just all going to go that way. But on the floor, if you're facing this way, right would be that way. It's always to you. So I'm going to bring a sticky pad here, and then if you don't want it, you can just like get rid of it. And the sticky pad, you can move it where you want. And I don't know if you want one, so here, lift. Good. And the reason we place the feet where they are is so that you have the ability to rock your pelvis again. So we're going to rock the pelvis just a little bit. not in a goal-oriented way, but in a curious way. And so you tip your low back, comes down a little closer to the ground, and then it moves a little bit away from the ground. And you might notice if your legs are wide, that that's a different move. So do that. Take your legs wide and see how it changes. Yeah. And you don't have to do the biggest move, but you may also notice it's going somewhere else. I see heads rolling or shrinking down and rising up. Yeah. So find the place where it feels like you could do this evenly, the same amount arching and the same amount rounding, so that you have a really nice small movement, like the size of, if you were lying on the ground, maybe you'd be lying on a space about the size of a half dollar and no bigger, and that's the amount you roll, like a half inch down and a half inch up, so it's really small. Yeah, nice. And you breathe evenly. Lovely. Take a break. Lengthen your legs. Slowly stand your feet and find where you'd like to be with both feet standing. And then take your hands around your right below the right knee. So you'll lift your right knee up to the sky, you'll rest your head back, yeah, there you go. And your fingers, let's not interlace them. So maybe you have one on top of the other, but that allows them to be a little movable, and they're not resting, yeah. And if it's more comfortable, you can bring your hands underneath the thigh, just not a lot of pressure. And this will come to this movement in a very small, very gentle, curious way of the same movement with your knee up. So you bring your low back a little bit away from the ground, and then you bring it back down. And you can let the knee go with one of the movements or both. So as you tip your pubic bone down and your belly sticks out, maybe your knee moves away from you a little. And as you round the back, the knee comes up. Does that make sense? Yeah, okay. And find, if it's not comfortable to do both hands, do one hand, right? Find your way of listening. And then as you continue, soften everything that doesn't need to work. So that could be the facial expression or your, right? I mean, it's so interesting. I sometimes notice in lessons that I have like a habitual attitude towards myself deep inside, and it's like, I don't know quite where it comes from, but it's a habitual way of being with myself that is really interesting. So you may notice that you have that, or a persistent need to do it in a certain way or with a certain amount of force or a certain amount of emotional energy, and that's something you can play with doing and not doing. And slowly release your leg and take a rest, not because you're tired, but because paying attention takes a lot of energy. Yeah, and be careful, we're not working on stretching at all here. So you may notice a little stretch, and I'd encourage you not to go into that, because we're looking for this other thing, which is called incremental change, like really tiny. And what's surprising about it is that it comes from not pushing not going big, but instead working in such a small way that we become very sensitive, which maybe we already are, very sensitive, and then we grow our knowledge, and because we grow the knowledge, our brain changes the tone of the muscles. It changes everything, but that's deep in the brain. That's not from us pushing or pulling. And this is next one's very, very even tinier than what you did before, like millimeters. Stand your feet, bend your knees. If you feel like you need to change where your feet are, you can at any time. It's not like you have to come back to the same spot every time. And then find a way to bring one or both of your hands to your knee. And imagine this before you do the movement. So holding your leg there, imagine that you could move in opposition so that your belly would expand, your pubic bone would move away from your nose as your knee came a little towards you. And then as you bring your low back to the ground, your knee would move a little bit away. And probably one of those is going to be a lot easier than the other. It's tiny. It's almost more a thought. And the way that you do it is with breath and softness in the jaw and softness in the pelvic floor, width in the whole back gets soft and heavy. Your arms do only the smallest amount that they need to do. The exact amount, how much do you need to hold your leg? Yeah, lovely, and that's plenty. And place your foot on the earth. And when you extend your legs, you can play with this idea of listening to the difference of your right leg and left leg. Yeah. The front of the hip, the length of the legs. And one of the ways we bring the leg up, so maybe choose one leg and play with this, and this will be familiar to some of you, is to take the knee out to the side, slide your foot on the side of the foot, and bring it up to stand. Yeah. Yep, you can watch, that's fine. Ingrid, go ahead and show. Yeah. So it's kind of hard when you've got a sticky thing on the ground, but it's a little bit, it's just a gentler way. You can play with it as we come back and forth. So return, we actually have two reference movements, two places that we really see what happened. And one is where we sat in the beginning, and one is this rocking. So very small, rock your pelvis down and up. And feel how that comes together, how it moves. And let your head go along for the ride. Everything goes along for the ride. It's not a big ride, but when you bring your pubic bone down, it elongates your spine, and that pulls a little all the way up. And then as you bring your low back down onto, well, it doesn't even have to touch. It just comes a little bit more close. You get a little longer maybe through the crown of the head. And the things that interfere with that happening are tension. Tension held when we're holding our ribs really tight or we're not breathing, then it gets a little less clear. And if you're not sure about that, hold your breath for a moment and try it again. Yeah, become like really stiff in the chest by holding your breath and then try moving. And it may feel different. Yeah, and then you can try it again. Compare with breathing. Lovely. Now, if you're comfortable resting here, rest here for a few breaths. And then slowly, this time, find your left leg. So bring your feet to stand again and take a hold someplace down below your left knee. Yeah, so not on the kneecap, but you could go underneath, Ingrid, if it's more comfortable. You could go between your knee and your thigh, like around the top of the thigh. Yeah, that looks lovely, as long as you're comfortable. And then just the gentle rocking motion. Curious, see what it's like on this side. So we're not bringing the knee anywhere necessarily, but it goes along for the ride probably. And it's a very different movement. Yeah. The trajectory of the way that your weight shifts on the ground is different. Go slow, 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 slow. And then you can play with moving in opposition. But go even tinier and even slower so that you can feel what needs to change without changing it. Like you're not pushing up against anything, you're not fighting against anything, you're just listening to what happens and trusting that you are learning something at this underworld level. The subconscious level, and find an enjoyment in how cool this system that you have is, how lovely that you have this motion. And then let it go. And let your legs go long. If you were to follow the line up of your right and left leg and feel where they joined in to your torso, it might be slightly more clear than when you began. Or there may be something else that's really clear to you right now. A sense of where you were moving. A shifting of the weight, that you may actually be lying differently on a different part of your head. Yeah, nice. And slowly bring your feet to stand in any way you like. And take hold, if it's possible, of both knees at the same time, from below the knee or under the, you know, between the lower leg and your thigh. Yeah. And have your hands be in an easy way. They're easy, soft arms. Less is more. Your experiment, should you wish to try, is to leave your legs fairly still and begin to gently and very small arch and round. Very small. So see if you can find the place where it happens really easily and stay in that zone and not go to where your body stops you, but where you actually have complete ability to decide how fast you go, how slow you go.
Did you say arch and round?
I said arch and round, and in a very small way your pelvis, and let your knees be pretty still. So you can do it actually and let your knees go with you. So if you want to do that, go ahead and try it. So arching, and that's an expanding and a lengthening of the whole front body. It doesn't have to be big for it to be using the whole front, the sternum, everything. And then when you arch, maybe the knees come with you. So that's one way. Right, so that, and then there's the opposition, your legs, and there's a sense of moving in the opposite way. So as you extend your front body longer, you arch the spine, your knees come up, and as you curl, they go away. And it has to be small in order to be quiet enough for you to feel what's happening. Weird, huh?
You know, you can get it sometimes, and then sometimes you kind of lose it.
Yeah, you can get it and you can lose it, and that's actually a good sign.
In the middle of it.
It's real, like, it's like, whoa, I went away. Yeah, actually, and go ahead and rest. There's a lot of reasons to rest, and one of them is, like, sometimes we get bored, so that's a time to rest. And actually, boredom can be a really powerful sign that we have moved into an area that is hard for us, or that is like we have an emotional thing going on perhaps underneath. So boredom is a beautiful signpost to stop. Another one is when you're repeating things like a robot, like do, 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 you just kind of go. That is another one. It's like, it's not very helpful. It's useful when you're out in the world to be able to do that, but when you're trying to sense and learn, then finding a repetitive thing only is useful to a certain extent.
What did you say about boredom?
Boredom can be a sign that you're like, you're in an area that's really hard for you. It could be a lot of things. You could feel bored because you're mad, or frustrated with that. You know, sometimes we have stories that we've told ourselves about parts of ourselves, and we'll just be like, it's a very rich thing, boredom.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yes. So then take a break, because there's no point. No point in continuing after that. And then the lovely thing is you come back to it and it's different. Yeah. You can cultivate, if you wish, as you try this next part, a pleasant internal attitude. Gather your right knee in, but leave your left leg a little long. And this time, see if you can bring your, yeah, you can use either leg, but make sure one leg is long and one leg is bent. And you'll walk your hands lower. So if you're holding behind the thigh, you could imagine that it would bring your leg in a little closer. So maybe you'd walk your hands down a little lower too. And then gather your knee a little closer to you. Yeah.
Because you do want it closer?
You're bringing your leg in closer, yeah. And then imagine this, please, before you do it. So you can feel when we arch that the belly could protrude. So your belly will come closer to your thigh and then move a little bit away. Your leg does nothing. Your leg is passive. So start with that. Begin with the idea that you're going to stick your belly out a little towards your thigh, and then drop it away, which is the arching and rounding. And it's very different with one leg long, right? So you see, it has to be small. Like, I should not even be able to see you moving, probably. Yeah, try it now. Or don't try it now. You can imagine it too. So you go, you choose. What's more useful? Sometimes you can imagine and then do one movement, and then imagine more and do one movement. And then try it with the leg being active in opposition. So your belly protrudes, your leg comes closer. You sink your low back down a little, your leg goes away. Yeah, it's hard. So make it less hard by doing less. Yeah, do less. Find a place where it is easy. And the easy might be in the beginning of the movement. Like, the inspiration of the movement could be like really cool. There's a lot there. The seed. And in that one seed, it's like you learn so much about what am I gathering up to do this movement? Like, am I holding my breath? Is my head doing something? Is it rooting to the earth to make this happen? What's happening? And then passive leg. So now the leg does, it just goes along, it does whatever it wants. Yeah, little arch, little, yeah. And then rest when you want to. Yeah. Yeah. Yes. Yes. Lots of weird. Myriad weird. Okay. And play with gathering your left leg or your right leg. So if you did your left leg, you find the right. If you did the right, you do the left. Yeah. And find a place to cuddle it in a little closer. Be kind. Be gentle. And if you're working yourself up and getting ready, you could not do that. Or you could. And play with letting your leg go along for the ride and let the ride be very small. So you're more interested in the beginnings of the movement and the idea of arching and rounding your low back, your pelvis rolling. You're more interested in the feeling of the beginning of the movement than anything else. And it's really different with your other leg long. It's very different. It doesn't need to be big to have a lot of information for you. Maybe you even know what happens in the long leg. You might notice it moves a little. And then play with the leg being opposite and just the smallest amount. So as you bring your belly, you protrude your belly, which is a little bit of an arching, your knee comes a little closer, mostly in your imagination, and then you move it away, mostly in your imagination. It's very small. It's a little active, and it changes things. Might change your attitude. Yeah, and then you release and let it go. Oh, that's good information. That's good information. Gather the information that's there for you as you rest. Like sometimes you notice things and sometimes you just rest. And then if you're curious, we'll make our way to the place where we began class with our legs in some kind of a V shape. It doesn't have to be quite exactly the same, but somewhere close to how you started class so you have a comparison. Yeah. And lengthen your legs and spread them out a little, your choice of how much. And then a little arching, a little rounding of your whole self, pelvis included. Everything, yeah. Let's see what's available. Let your pelvis rock a little too. So that's, if you bring the movement that we're doing up here, right? So it's, even if you're doing here too, it would be the whole, all the way down to the floor. Yeah. And then if you got really excited about that, you could do it smaller. Yeah, and listen to the quality. They can move. Why not? Yeah, let them move. And they don't have to actually move by doing work. They could actually move by bending. You could let them be soft. That's interesting. You might feel, yeah, I can feel, I don't know if I'd call it work or not, but yeah, I think that makes sense. See how, yeah, your knees bend a little as you come up. Yeah, but you're in a different place now. It's interesting, isn't it? Yeah, and so are you. It really helps. It makes a much difference. And that's, you know, he came up and he called them constraints. And you know, all these different ways that we put ourselves in positions in order to feel something. And when we have the hands there, we have a different sense of this angle. It changes everything. It really is. Yeah, it is easier. Okay, and then rest on your backs again. So it's like you're always allowed, you know, there's no right or wrong. You just end up finding something a little different when you change the rules, and that's okay too. Yeah. Now, are you pointing and flexing your feet? Oh, how cool. I think that's fantastic. You're welcome. And rest on your back. Give it up. Give it up. Yeah, that happens. I went and I took a class with my friend and teacher. I think I took it 3 or 4 weeks ago, and it was we were doing something I've done probably 10 to 15 times at least. I've done the lessons around it, and I've had one-on-one lessons where we were exploring the theme, and I could not do it. I was lying there going, "Whose body is this? What happened? What, it, this should be so easy." And I just started laughing because, yeah, that happens, and that's actually good. One of the things that Feldenkrais used to say was that if you're not confused, you're not learning. Because when we think we know and we are really attached to that, or even if we're not attached to it, but we still think we know, but there's no room to move or learn. We're just in that place of knowing.
It's funny, I've heard that in places, but you don't really hear it a lot.
Yeah, well, I say it a lot.
Well, in places,
Yeah.
yeah, maybe you're one of them.
I might be somebody you've heard that. I really like that. It makes me happy. Okay, and then slowly bend your knees and stand your feet. And we'll change it a little bit. So, if it works for you, cross your right ankle over your left knee, but the knee will go out to the side a little. And, you know, whatever that means. So, it's crossing at the ankle, not the knee. So, right knee cross left ankle, like figure four stretch. Or what's the one, thread the needle in yoga? You take your ankle across. You can look at Terry for the position.
Oh, like that.
Yeah, there you go. I know there's a name for it, but it's not coming. And then your left leg, make sure it's still somewhere where it can assist you. And then you'll know if it's not, because you'll do the movement and you'll be like, I have to move my foot. Only arching the back. So only arching, you're not rounding at all. You're not going to press your back down. You're only protruding your belly a little bit, and it doesn't need to be big. And what makes that possible, the arching, is also being soft in the places above where you're working. So you can feel that there's a gentle tipping of your pubic bone away from your nose. And a gentle lengthening of the belly, and that also goes all the way up. And whether you feel it or not, you can imagine that you lengthen the front of your whole body all the way up, even to your throat. And then you come back to neutral each time. So you're only going, arching a little, and then coming back to neutral and pausing. And I'm not attached to this next part working. So you can keep doing this and you can imagine it or you can try it on as you wish. Your right and left hand come somehow to help your knee and ankle come a little towards you away from your left knee. So you will actually bring your whole right leg as it is towards you as you arch your back, and then bring it down as you move away. I know, it's okay. Don't look to each other now. Give yourself some chance to not know what you're doing. Give yourself a chance. It's a rich place to be. So it's okay, good. Don't worry. So it doesn't have to work. So if you take your right hand and place it around your right knee, and you take your left hand, and maybe you can reach your pant leg, or maybe you reach your ankle. So it will be of your right leg, pants leg, maybe. Yep. Then you would take your hands and bring them towards you a little bit with your leg attached. Bring your leg in a little and then send it away. Uh-huh. Yeah. See, you figured it out yourself. It doesn't have to happen. It doesn't have to go anywhere. The idea is that the foot and the knee could come a tiny bit closer to you as you arch your spine a little bit. And it's tiny. It can even just be the idea of doing that could be enough, that you have the contact and that your brain can have the image of your right leg as it is in this little diamond shape coming a little towards you as you protrude your belly, as you soften your jaw and your neck. And then, yeah, and that's enough, and you can uncross and lengthen and rest. Good job. What's the point? I know. Yeah. Well, good question. Lengthen down and see. What's the point? Feel your right leg in resting and feel your left leg. Feel the front of the hips. Yeah. It's really interesting, isn't it? Well, he studied physics. He also studied human anatomy, and he spent a lot of the time on the floor rolling around and playing. He also, his wife studied early development of infants and children, although that's not mentioned in a lot of places, but I think that's really interesting because I imagine he had some exposure and discussion around that. He understood how the bones of the body join. And our joints are so interesting because on the one hand, they join us together, and on the other, they separate, right? So they are such rich places of discovery. And as somebody with a knee injury, he also knew from his experience that changing the tone of the muscles around the hip joint, when we know where the joint is, when our brain knows where the joint is, then it can adjust the tone of everything and be more skillful in how we move, how we step and line up our weight down from our hip joint to our knee to our foot, right? So if you had to right now point at where you think your right hip joint is, where would you figure it was? So you can, yeah, actually find where you think your leg moves in you, and then check, move your leg and see if you can find it. I know, it's really interesting. Now, maybe you, it's totally hard to find. So now bend your right leg, stand your foot, and take your right hand to the front of your hip, and find the place where the fold in between your leg and your body is. Yeah, there you go. Yeah, totally. Probably closer to where your thumb is, Terry. And then put your fingers where your thumb is. Yeah. And you're never going to get in there, just so you know. It's not going to happen. But if you lift your hip like we do so often, press into the foot and rock the hip a little, you'll feel closer to where it bends. And you're lighting up this area for your brain really clearly right now, among a whole slew of other things that are also happening about the relationship between your spine and your legs. Yeah, nice. Okay, and then stand both feet. Huh?
So fast.
Yeah. Yeah, you'll never be able to feel the joint itself because there's so many muscles. It's like the largest muscles of the body are around this area. Cross the left ankle over your right knee-ish. Yeah, find a place and feel how that is compared to the other side. So feel that, and now go and try the first side again. So uncross, try the other side. See what that's like. I mean, it's just always different. So this isn't just about what you just did. This is just curious. Okay, now try your other side. Yeah, and this hip joint's not going to be the same. So first you just go for a ride. Gently rock your arching, right? And then coming to neutral, so no curling on this one. Just expanding the front body, softening the jaw, and then coming to a neutral place. And the neutral place, the right leg gets to be a little softer too. So the muscles of the right leg can really just support you because they're in a good, stable place. You don't have to have a lot of extra tension there. And then if you're curious, bring your left hand to your left knee and your right hand somewhere around the ankle or taking hold of the pants maybe. Yeah, and you really can use your pants sometimes or the sock. Sometimes people will take hold of their socks. And then maybe imagine it first. So imagine that you were able to draw your left ankle and knee in a little towards you as you expand your belly and arch the spine a little. And if you were standing, it would be like lifting your foot and knee towards you. But because you're lying on your back, it's a little less work. Yeah, that's right, though. That's the right direction. And if you feel goal-oriented, you could do less, I know. Yeah, so an intent to succeed. This is one of my teacher's words exactly. When you try to succeed, it shifts your attention and triggers the habits that interfere with the movement. Okay, I'll say it again. And you can pause and rest or keep, you know, you choose. An intent to succeed. So when you try to succeed, it shifts your attention and triggers the habits that interfere. Now, you don't have to agree with that necessarily. So you can, in fact, you don't have to agree with anything I say. You can always test things out and see. But you might, for a moment, think about whether that could be true. So if you're doing this movement and you decide you want to do it right, succeeding is beyond these little subtle shifts that we're doing, right? It's something bigger. It has an emotional component perhaps, and it also has this, I don't even know what succeeding looks like, but you might have an image associated with it, like where you can bring your leg and foot completely to your head and maybe put your foot behind your head, because we could do that from this place, right? I couldn't, but somebody could. And then if I'm trying to do that, then I think for my body, what I would do, and this may or may not fit with you, I would actually crunch all the muscles in my abdomen and like a sit-up. Right? And a sit-up is the opposite of arching the spine. So I would do something totally different. It would change everything. Yeah, so you can try this movement one more time if you're curious. And otherwise, you can rest. Cross.
When would you do that? When would you change everything and do it like a sit-up movement?
If I was going to succeed and I had an idea of what success looked like, and I'll show you actually. So let's say I'm doing this and my idea is that I'm going to get my foot and knee up, right? So, but I'm also doing this gentle arching. But if I'm going to get the foot and knee up, I'm going like that. That is not going to assist me in doing this or in feeling, actually. And since most of Feldenkrais is about really sensing and feeling yourself so you have a choice, the striving to succeed actually overrides all of that, and it says how I feel doesn't matter, and that I just need to do it right. So it turns on other things. It turns on other parts of ourselves. And for you, it might be something totally different that it turns on. Yeah, so try if you want, and then let it go and rest. And slowly stand your feet, bend your knees, and take your right knee into your hands like we did earlier. And just, yeah, the right knee, the right leg hugs in, and play with the arching and rounding here and see what that's like. And notice if that's a little different now. Or how you do it. There's a shifting of the weight behind you. It may feel a little smoother or more clear to you, the movement. It may be bigger, smaller, but better quality. And then switch and try the other leg. Because you're working too hard. Yeah, it could be because you're working too hard. Yeah.
Ah. I know I have to work hard.
We'll clear it up. Well, yeah. Huh? Yeah, it does. Oh, my goodness. Yeah, wheels within wheels within wheels. Yeah. So see if you can work in a way that does not cause or increase any discomfort, period, ever. Yeah, and then let that go. Stand your feet and try just the gentle rocking of the pelvis, the really tiny, as small as you can make it and very clear. Small as you can make it, but very clear. So there's a path that the weight travels. Notice if it's the same as when you began. If you can tell, sometimes that's clear. Sometimes there's like a circular pattern, like you go down this way and you come up a different way. And then see how it moves through up to your head. And see if you can help make that happen by softening even in the throat, you soften. So the trajectory, the line of force from your tailbone up through the spine becomes a little more clear, a little more easy. And then rest. And that should help sort that out, Ingrid, hopefully. You also don't have a ton of padding behind you. Either this is not a very thick mat, so that's sometimes another reason. So you could take that one if you'd prefer. And you don't have, you know.
It's not the first time I've felt this before. I mean, I think in here, but I have felt it like at home when I did some ATM lots.
Oh, that's interesting. Yeah.
I always thought it was just from like laying. Too long.
Well, it could also be that, but I don't know. You could try giving yourself more padding and see if it helps, and then that will inform you some too. And then you could also see if you can work smaller. Mm-hmm. All right, slowly roll to your side and come up to the same-ish position with your hands behind you, your legs out. And you can choose to do this, so try it with your hands behind you a couple times. Focusing on the beginning of the movement being the rocking of your pelvis and letting it go through. In any way, I'm not being specific because where it goes through to, right? So if you move your pelvis, something above will move, something below will move. Yeah, and let it be small. See if you can let the legs be heavy and let them move or not move as they do. And then you can try it with your hands resting on your thighs as well and see if it's more clear, which is kind of where you started. So you might really have to stick your belly out to find the arching. And then to do that right, you might actually need to lift your nose, because arching your low back implies also a lifting of the sternum, and rounding implies a dropping down of the sternum. And then pause. Yeah. And you choose with rest again before we get up. Yes, okay, rest again. Let it all go. You may notice a different sense of your length of your legs at the end of class. A sense of them resting differently than they began, different part of the heel or calf, more or less of the leg in contact with the earth, different contact behind your sacrum and your head, your shoulders. There may be something else that you notice about breath or about how you contact the earth, how well you can sort of rest down. There may be areas of you that are a little more awakened, a little more active, have more sensation. And take your time to roll and come to standing. And when you come to standing, you can leave your mats where they are, but stand onto the wood floor so that you have solid feedback from the earth. Not too much extra movement on your way up, so that you're really with the lesson still. And in standing, feel your contact with the earth. And that's where your weight is in your heels and in your feet. How it translates up your legs and into your pelvis. How even you are on your feet. And anything you notice here before you move. And let's walk backwards first. So Ingrid, I'm moving this so you can just come straight back. Yeah, walk backwards first in any way that makes sense. So don't worry about whether you're swinging your arm one way or the other. Yeah. And there's a reaching when you walk backwards. You may have to turn at some point. There's a reaching your leg, your toes, and it reaches through the front of the hip to extend the leg behind you a little. Yeah, you might want to turn around now. You're on the cords. So feel how you do that, how you sink your weight down. Yeah, it's interesting, isn't it? Good. And then take a walk, a normal walk, and see how that comes together. Notice what you notice there. And track, you know, the little lessons that we have. If you follow them a little and keep this experiment going through the week, sometimes you'll notice where you can keep learning from the lesson, remembering a piece of it as you're taking your walks. Thank you all for coming. You're welcome. Absolutely. And I'll see you in 3 weeks.